Wednesday, the 6th of January, Kof Teves, Rabbi Svi Teichman, Golos Mitzrayim.
May Rabbi say, as a way of introduction, I want to show my appreciation for the Tibur that did come in this weather. I was told that I'd be, if I saw a minion here, I should be thoroughly impressed that Kanir'eh, they managed to hide my reputation and to bring a Tibur. I spent the first years of my life perverting the British language, and the next few years of my life in Israel raising the tempo. So I prepared about a little more information than a half hour's worth, and since he just took 1 minute, and my introduction took 1 minute, so you'll forgive me if I speak a little quickly. Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. One of the most often misinterpreted ma'amarim of Chazal, Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. The Welt likes to translate the words Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah, that Derech Eretz is more important than Torah. Chas mi lahazkin. It is usur to even say the words. It's not possible that anything should be more important than Torah. Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah means that Derech Eretz comes before Torah. It's only possible to reach the proper level of Torah if you have Derech Eretz. The goal is, of course, Torah. Derech Eretz is the tool required, necessary, for becoming a Ben Torah. For imbibing yourself with the Koyach of Torah, it requires Derech Eretz. But there's no question that the goal is the Torah. Nobody would say that the Queen's Road, I believe it's called, is the purpose or more important than Buckingham Palace. Mal. Queen's Road, right?
The Mall.
It can't be considered more important than the palace. The palace is the goal, it's the purpose. But without the road, you won't be able to reach it. Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah means it's a necessity, it is a kli to reaching your goal, which is going to be the Torah.
What's the chayas?
What is Derech Eretz? That is where we are going today to understand the Yesod of Galus Mitzrayim. Not too many years ago in America, there was an experiment which a professor in a university made an experiment which included his students in the university. Eventually, this experiment went awry, and he was excused from the school, and a lot of his students required psychological help after this experiment. They actually made a feature, not a feature film, but a documentary about it. It was called The Wave. Some of you might have heard of it. There were a few of the students in the classroom that didn't believe that it was possible that there should be a Holocaust. So he wanted to show them that there really was such a possibility, and he created a mini Holocaust inside his university. What he did was he created a society which began with his immediate class and then it spread to the entire university. A society based on strict adherence to rules, based on order, and it gave, especially the weaker people in the university, the weaker personalities, it gave them the ability to thrive because they were equal to everybody else. It was sort of a communist idea where everybody followed a specific set of rules. They had to sit properly, they had to place their instruments on their tables properly, they had to walk properly, they had to speak, everything had to be proper according to the rules. Eventually they reached a point that in this university, this movement called The Wave became so strong that anybody that opposed the rigid attitude of The Wave was being mistreated, eventually with physical violence, certainly verbally they were being abused. And they all became a unit, a powerful unit in the student body, which could have very closely been likened to Hitler's youth. And eventually he showed them the comparison between their behavior and Hitler's youth, which destroyed a lot of their personality that he had built up, a lot of their strength of character that he had built up. He was an expert in chinuch. But he used it the wrong way. He created a kli, a vessel, for a receptacle by treating these students in a certain way and giving them a want to listen. And then he filled them with his own value system. HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches us this chinuch system with Galus Mitzrayim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches us how we should be utilizing it properly. There's a difference between chinuch and iluf. Two Hebrew words that are very closely related. When you hear it in Lashon Hebrew, I don't know if it's Lashon HaKadosh, when you hear it in Hebrew, you start to hear that there's a big difference. Chinuch, put it aside for a second, iluf is training. You train a dog. You train a dog, sometimes we train our children. A three-year-old child, it's impossible to be mechanic them, to educate them. You have to train them. If they put their finger in a socket, you give it a smack. They have to learn that there has to be a cause and effect. There has to be something that they're afraid of. This is training. This is not going to be valuable eventually for their development. But it's important. But then there's something called chinuch. I heard it called in Lashon HaKodesh. It was called hakna'at erech. I had a hard time translating it into English. I tried with the words imbibing values. Giving a child or any person values, he should get, have his own erech, his own respect for that value. That is chinuch. In order to give somebody values, he has to want to accept them. And Hashem taught us that the first stage in giving over values is going to be creating the receptacle. As this professor did in university, first he made them want to listen to what he had to say, and then he gave them a value system. 1, 2, 3, this is what you should be thinking. But in order to give them this value system, first he had to create a want to listen. And that he did with his order. That everything had to be in a very specific order. They didn't have to think. They only had to listen to what he had to say, behave according to this specific project. And then they didn't have to do anything creative with their imagination. Everything was what you said. It was much easier for them to live that way. And then they just accepted every word that he gave them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught us this with Mitzrayim as well. And I'd like to explain how. Many places in Shas, the Torah compares Talmidei Chachamim to Kelim, to a vessel. Klal Yisrael went down to Mitzrayim, they were not a vessel. Klal Yisrael went down to Mitzrayim with mitzvahs, with avodas Hashem, with yiras shamayim, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the 12 shvatim, tzadikim gemurim. Whenever speaking about the 12 shvatim, it's scary to even mention Chas v'shalom to mention a chisar and any lacking in the Shemesh Rishvatim. And I do not profess to say that there was any lacking in them per se. But we see that Hashem sent Klal Yisrael to Mitzrayim for 210 years, approximately 100 of which was a shibud, the difficult work that they had to do. The avdus, the slavery of Mitzrayim. What was the purpose of going down to Mitzrayim? Chazal tell us it was a kur hahituch. It was a smelting pot. What is a smelting pot? When you have iron ore, or gold, let's use gold. You have gold with rocks and dirt mixed in. You put it into a big pot, you fire it up, you melt it down, and then you take all the dirt off the top. It all floats to the top. And what you're left with is a perfectly beautiful metal. In order to make gold for the Beis HaMikdash, it had to be repeated and repeated and repeated this process until they had the absolute finest gold. And it was done, I think it was well over 30, 40 times before they had the gold that was used for the Beis Kalim in the Beis HaMikdash. This smelting process removes all the garbage and leaves behind the beautiful processed metal. This is what Mitzrayim was doing for Klal Yisrael. But then one hand has to ask. After their 210, or the 100 years in Mitzrayim, as many as would like to discuss, Klal Yisrael came out on the 49th level of Tumah. Chas v'shalom, it looks that Mitzrayim didn't work. It looks like the purpose was to take off all the garbage, and adarabah, we had just the garbage. The 49th level of Tumah. When they reached Yam Suf, the Malachim turned to the Ribbono Shel Olam and said, Ribbono Shel Olam, halalu oydei avodah zarah, v'halalu oydei avodah zarah. The Mitzrayim are oydei avodah zarah, and so are the Jews. Why should Jews make them special? Why save them and kill them? What are they better? So how is it possible to look at Golus Mitzrayim and say, ah, we've accomplished our goal in creating the fine metal, the fine Klal Yisrael that's required for Kabbalah Satayra? The answer is, that Mitzrayim was not there to fill Klal Yisrael with Avodah and Torah and Mitzvahs. That they had already from Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak Avinu, Yaakov Avinu. They were full of Torah and mitzvahs. They weren't given the Torah, they knew the Torah. Chal Yisrael had a problem being mekabel the Torah on Har Sinai with the Torah and the mitzvahs of the Avos. Because the Avos built all of their Torah and mitzvahs and Avodas Hashem on their own. When they developed their mahalach, their pattern of avoda in worshipping HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was done on their own. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want that. For Klal Yisrael, for the future, it was necessary that the Torah be given to Klal Yisrael as a perfect receptacle, as the word of Hashem. Not because you know it's the right thing, but because Hashem said so. Absolutely necessary. So all that avoda of the avos had to be stripped away. If you have a wall and it starts to bring out mold, so what do? You paint over it. A couple days later, it's moldy again. So you paint over it again. Until you have a 30-inch thick piece of paint on the wall, and the mold is still coming through. So what do? What do to get rid of the mold? You have to scrape away all of the good paint. When you get down to the bare wall, you have to treat the problem at its source. And then you can paint one coat of paint, and everything is beautiful. The Avos painted a tremendously beautiful picture over Avodah Zarah. Because Avraham Avinu's father, Terach, and that's where we begin the story of Mitzrayim when we learn the Haggadah, Terach was an Oved Avodah Zarah. On that basis of the first 3 years of Avraham Avinu's life, Avraham Avinu began his Avodah. He did not begin from scratch. There was mold. There was something in the background. I'm afraid to say such a thing, but it's possible to say that the reason would be that Avraham Avinu brought a carbon to Hashem because he knew that a carbon was a good thing. Because he had seen that when somebody wants the respect, he brings a carbon, and he saw it from his father. I don't know, maybe it's possible. He knew to show respect, and he used it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want that. He wanted that Klal Yisrael should do everything only because it was the word of Hashem. This is the derech of Hashem. So Hashem had to take away all that avodah. And they took away the first layer of paint and the second until they went down to the absolute bare bones. That bare wall with one dirty spot on it called Halalu Avdei Avodah Zarah, the Halalu Avdei Avodah Zarah. That's where they were when they entered the Yam Suf back at the beginning. Back with Halalu Avdei Avodah Zarah and Terech Avi Avram. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu wiped that slate clean. Wiped it clean. Ve'aminu ba'Hashem uv'Moshe Avdei. We are going to start now afresh. The question is, if Hashem took it all away, where is the wall? What was left behind? If we have Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak Avinu and Yaakov Avinu, that means they're our base, they're our wall, they're our beginning, our foundation. But if you took it all away, what was left behind? They obviously built that foundation for us to begin with. Hashem had to clean off the foundation, and then we began from the foundation. What is this foundation of Avraham, Yitzchak and Yaakov? What was left behind if they're Oved Avodah Zarah? What was left behind if they were on the 49th level of Tumah? The answer is l'chora obvious, but we have a problem with definition. Avraham Avinu, we're taught again and again, was Midas HaChesed. Yitzchak Avinu, again and again, was Midas HaGvura. And if anybody is thinking, wait a minute, that's Tefillah. Tefillah is Avodah, and Avodah is Avdus, and that's exactly where we're going. The Avdus of Yitzchak Avinu was his Gvura, and I'll explain in a moment. And Yaakov Avinu was Emes. Truthfulness. What is the definition of these three things? We would translate it into English maybe as kindness, strength, and truth. Kindness, strength, and truth. This is the bare bones. This is the foundation. This is what Klal Yisrael needed in order to be mekabel the Torah. And it had to be clean. It had to be a mensch. Derech Eretz Kodma la Torah means chesed, Gevura and Emes. The only question is, what is Chesed, Gevura and Emes? Chesed is kindness. Hashem's nisoyon, his test to see Avraham Avinu's kindness, was to send him up to the top of a mountain with a very sharp knife and to slaughter his own son. That's a test of kindness? I don't know if there is a word in the English language for the achzorius of a man who has to slaughter his own son. Gvura? We'll take a little shortcut to the Midah of Yitzhak Avinu. Gvura? The pasuk of Yitzhak Avinu in the Torah is that he was chayfer be'eroiz asher chafar aviv. He dug the wells of Torah and Avodah that his father dug. He redug the old wells. There's nothing easier than just taking out the little dirt that fell in. He had the same Avodah Hashem as his father. Where's his Gevura? Strength. He should be showing createdness in his Avodah Hashem. But instead of showing createdness, he goes back over. He does review. He does review for everybody of his father's Torah. Where's his strength being shown? Everything that happens in the Torah other than the wells, Yitzhak Avinu is not doing. It's being done to him. His father took him up on the mountain. Yaakov Avinu tricks him to take the brachas away. Everything is being done to him. What did he do in the Torah? He dug the same old wells that his father had dug before him. Where's the strength in that? And MS, truthfulness, Yaakov Avinu, the sign of truthfulness in the Torah. What is that? Tricking his father for the brachas, tricking Laban to make money. His whole life is born of trickery and seemingly deceit. This is MS of Yaakov Avinu. This is the truthfulness of the Torah. How is it possible? So we have a problem with our definitions here. We have to start from the beginning of Chesed, Gvura, and MS and stop translating them literally and understand what they really mean. A true midah of Chesed. A true midah of Chesed means a person who acts selflessly. Selflessly means there's no me. It can be translated into giving. We heard yesterday morning that Moshe Rabbeinu, being on the highest level of not having any ani, there is no self, he wasn't able b'chlal to give a truma, a gift to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Mishkan, because he had no self from which to give. Somebody who so purified himself that his whole will was only Hashem's will, he had no self. Giving to somebody means that you do it without thinking of yourself. That's chesed. Kindness is giving. Chesed is selflessness. Gvura does not mean physical strength. Gvura means somewhat of a strength of character. Ezehu gibur hakevesh es Yitzray. Yitzchak Avinu had it in him to forge new drachim in Avodas Hashem that nobody had ever heard of, and to create whole new society based on Hashem's will. But he didn't do that, because he knew that if he would do that, his father's Torah, his father's Avodah would go away. No hemshich, no continuation, and Avraham Avinu's Torah would be lost. So the Torah's praise of Yitzchak and his strength of character was to quench his own abilities to do anything that nobody ever heard of before. Because he knew that the proper behavior here was going to be a continuation of Avraham Avinu. Not to act rashly because you can. Not everything that you can do, should you do. At the same time, he did it with his strength of character, because his nature was to be new and refreshing and different than everybody. With, obviously, the right ideas, but a new way, a new fashion. He didn't do that because he knew it wasn't appropriate. He was able to be kovish his yetzer, to subjugate his own will, again, selflessness, in order to do what he knew was right. And Yaakov Avinu in Midas HaEmes, his mother, Rivka the Neviah, told him, this is what Hashem said. And he knew then that I have to be what looks like deceitful. Emes does not translate as truthfulness. All of the Mefarshim translate it as things that develop the positive hemshich of the world. Meaning, how Hashem wants the world to be. If it necessitates trickery, then trickery. However, Hashem wants the world to be, that is the emes. Kalanoe v'chasuda. That is the emes. Because the emes is that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants that you should build the zug, the young couple, into their simcha and their happiness, and the praise kalanoe v'chasuda is emes, says the Gemara, even when it's not true. Kalanoe. What if she's not noe? It's machlekes b'sil b'shamay. We pass in that you say kalanoe v'chasuda, even if it's not true, but it's emes. It's the Ratzon Hashem. In Eretz Yisrael, I teach in Yeshiva Chedvas HaTorah. You have a policy of rotating door, Bez Hashem. Come in, go out, move up, move up. One of the sentences, and I take a little liberty here, speaking in a British crowd, being an American, one of the sayings that as they go through our revolving door, I try to erase from their lexicon is, I can't be bothered. I can't be bothered. Where is the folly of that statement? Until recently, I would have thought the folly in that statement is, can't be bothered. But the real problem here is, I can't be bothered. I have my own will. Whatever needs to be done, but I have my will. I can't be bothered. You can't have an I, because everything is Ratzon Hashem, what Hashem wants for the world. And if I want differently, who am I? I could begin a discourse for the next hour. Of course, I will not. I didn't want to scare anybody. Describing how impossible it is to realize the differentiation, the differential between me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, between zero and infinity. And I can say I when Hashem says He wants something? There is no I. One over infinity, five over infinity, 1,300,700, it's all zero. I'm a zero in comparison to the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's going to be an I, a zich. I can't be bothered. I want. I have to get rid of that I. In order to begin my avodas Hashem. Now we reached understanding of what is the kli, the vessel which can contain the Torah and avodas Hashem. What is that vessel? It is chesed, gevura, and emes. No I. Chesed is selflessly. With gevura, with the strength of character, knowing that when it needs to be done, I will be bothered. Whether or not, sorry, I don't want to use the word I, want to be bothered. But I will. Chesed is selflessly getting rid of the I. Gvura is getting rid of the won't be bothered. What is emes? Emes is the knowledge or the willingness to accept. The willingness to accept what is it that Hashem wants. Then I've created my vessel. I am ready to be mevatel, to take away the self and to accomplish that which Hashem tells me is right. Without any interest myself. What do we teach our children? What do we teach our children? Our children ask us for advice. And we give them perfect advice. And if we leave out one little thing, we have ruined their kli, their vessel. My child asked me for advice, and whatever it might be, I didn't think of an example. And I tell him, this would be a great idea for you. This is the right thing for you. You should do like this. I may have solved the problem, but I lost the war. I told my child that I just thought of a good idea. In my opinion, I'll figure it out. I'll help you. I'll tell you what to do. Because my way is going to be the right way. I left out one thing. The connection to Ratzon Hashem, how Hashem wants it done. I destroyed the vessel. Rav Gustman was famous, Zichron Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha. He sat in his office and behind him was a shas. Every time somebody came to him with a question, be it marital, be it financial, be it political, be it mitzvahs, and I put that last in the list, because it's easiest to understand, he would turn around and put a volume off the shelf. He would flip through the pages, and he would say, here, look at this Gemara, and he would explain why this was the source for that which he was advising. Nothing came from him. It all came from the bookshelf, from the Gemara, from the Torah, from Har Sinai, from the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. That's how he taught people not only how to behave and what to do, but where it comes from. If every time we are asked advice or we give advice, we would just include this aspect. When asked advice, think, is there a source in the Torah? And mention it to the children and bring it out and say it again and again. I learned once like this, it appears that this situation is similar. The pasuk says, Avraham Avinu did. By adding this into our chinuch, we are building the kli. We are creating the receptacle. In today's world, that's the most we can do with our children, because the world is so ready to fill them with the wrong ideas. But if we make them the proper kli to accept Hashem's ideas, to accept the MS, they'll find it. They'll find it everywhere. You see that from every place that you look, you will find the information, what does Hashem want? If you're looking for what does Hashem want? If there's no me, there's no I. I had a story, I worked with Leib Lachim, and I had a story once. There was a family that I was talking to, and there was an 18-year-old student from university, and she was professing the theory of everyone on his own truth, which, taken to his extreme, is Nazism. It's fascism. It's socialism. It's communism. It's democratic. It's whatever you want it to be. The idea is, the world happened, I don't know how it happened, I feel, therefore I am. I will decide what's true and what's good for me. You will decide what's true and what's good for you. As long as you don't bother me too much, everybody's happy. Everybody in his own truth, whatever you feel is fine. No value in the world, no truth in the world. It's however you look at the world. So I turned to her and I told her, you know, you would have made a great, you would have been very good in the Nazi regime. She got very insulted. No, you can't hurt anybody else. I said, why? That's your truth. My truth is I'm allowed to hurt whoever I want. Who are you to tell me not to? No, but you can't hurt anybody else. And it went backwards again and again. That's usually where the conversation goes. But then I asked her a question. I said, tell me something. If you have a 25-year-old boy, a good, strong, healthy guy, who spends all his days and nights drunk, rolling in the gutters in his own vomit, he is a sickening example of a human being, but he's got this huge smile plastered on his face. He's so happy. Is that good? Is that right? If he's happy, I'm happy for him. That's terrific. So I turned to her father. I said, lock her up till she's 35. That attitude of each person decides for himself what is right and what is wrong is the ultimate destruction of a yid. Because the kli that we needed to leave Mitzrayim was a receptacle of the willingness to do for Hashem without any self, the strength to make the decision, and the MS knowing that, what am I going to do with those strengths? That which Hashem commands. Not what I think and not what anybody else thinks, what Hashem commands, because there is truth in the world. It's not everybody in his own. There is one truth in the world. The truth Hashem gave us in a list. He gave us the Torah, Torah Shebichsav, and then Torah Shebaal Peh. This is what will teach us what is the truth, what is the MS to act with our chesed and gvura. Just to wrap up, when they left Mitzrayim, they had nothing else but Chesed, Gvura, and Emes. They had that blank wall, that foundation for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to put the Torah on. What was it? The perfect receptacle. If we can build in ourselves, and Halavai Bez Hashem, and our children, this receptacle, it will be filled, because that's what they will be looking for, by Torah and Avodah, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. But it has to have this combination. They were on the 49th level of Tumah, and they were still Avdei Avodah Zarah, and Hashem said, that's okay! I can give you my Torah! It'll take me altogether 49 days to put it together. But they had to go for 210, 430 years in order to prepare that receptacle. That's the hard work. From there on out, Baruch Hashem, Siyata Dishmaya, it comes easily. But we have to build this receptacle, we have to build this basic wall in order that we should be able to makabel the Torah. We have to build that receptacle of Chesed, Gevura, and Emes.